Welcome to Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown with Vic Verschereau, and we have an old friend that's with us today because I had such fun with Ann Sherman the last time we were together on the show that I asked and begged and pleaded with her if she'd come back and give us some more of the good stuff. So Ann is the Vice President of Business and Finance at California State University in Chico, and of course the real headline is she's a Youper, so she's one of us here in Michigan. Ann, welcome back. We're so glad to have you.
Well, thanks a lot, Vic. I got one first question.
Yeah.
Who are you calling old?
Oh,
come on, man.
Well, I always tell everybody it's
work
not
with me here.
Yeah, it's not the age on me, it's the mileage. So I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, age is just a number. So, well, Ann, I'm glad you're back. And before we got on the air here, we talked briefly about life in California, and I'm so sad to hear you're dealing with those fires out there. You've got some fires that are fairly close. What'd you say? One is about 45 minutes away, south.
Yeah, just to the southeast of me, about 45 minutes. There's been that really big North Complex fire, which has been just decimating some of our beautiful national forest land in the mountains. And then a couple days ago to the west over in Napa, another big fire started, and hopefully they're getting that one under control.
Oh, my word. Boy, you're talking about prime
real
estate.
It's been hot and really dry. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and interesting enough, as I understand, the heat, those grapes really love that stuff. But, you know, it doesn't make for good. It does make for good fire kindling when everything gets going out there. I'm really, really sorry to hear about that. And it's devastating when those things go that way. But I guess everybody's wearing a mask, so you stay inside the best you can and stay out of some of that smoke that kind of billows up. You mentioned that the sun has a different color.
Yep. That's right. When the sun rose this morning, it was a beautiful red.
Yeah, for all the wrong reasons, right?
For all the wrong reasons. It wasn't quite the sunny yellow I was expecting.
Right. Well, Ann, for all of our loyal listeners and those that are tuning back in again, you know, you grew up in the Upper Peninsula. You are fondly referred to by anybody that knows and understands Michigan as a Youper. And, of course, just real quickly, tell us your hometown in the Upper Peninsula again. And also, you studied up in Michigan a little bit, too.
I did. I grew up in Ingadine, Inga-ringa-dingadine, as
you
I know you down people say.
Yeah.
And I went to Michigan Tech for school, proud, raised Youper, and it's kind of fun out here to get people to understand what a Youper is and what we're all about.
Yeah.
And I had somebody tell me the other day that it was a clue in their crossword puzzle, and they were very happy to know the answer.
Well, I think you've made it if you get into the crossword puzzles. That's pretty impressive. I didn't. It's like, holy cow, it's the big time.
It's a Youper.
Yeah.
Okay, I know one of those.
That's awesome. Well, I'm glad
I'm very glamorous out here. It's quite funny, actually.
Well, you know, and you're glamorous here, too, because you know, we're downstate with this show. We don't get a lot of Youpers, and we just love it. And I got to tell you, Ann, I just love your expertise, the knowledge you bring to the show. But you're just one of the most down-to-earth, wonderful people that I've had the pleasure of getting to know, and I'm so grateful for it. But, Ann, I ask you to come back because you so had so much to offer. And one of the areas I wanted to unpack with you today is what you and I talked about last time, which was six roles of leadership. And so could you kind of give me the recap of that? And then I want to go real deep on this show and talk about those six roles of leadership.
Sure. I've been using this leadership model in different industries for many years now. Again, since I'm not old, I won't say quite how many years.
Exactly.
But this has been applicable across different industries and across all different levels of leadership. So I'm very comfortable with it as a concept. And I have found it to be really helpful in helping people understand what is the job of a leader, actually.
Mm.
We oftentimes think about the leader's work as being a culmination of the work of the group that they're responsible for. But in reality, leaders have to do some very specific things in order to get that work accomplished.
Yeah.
One of them is to structure the work. How do we set the work up? A second is to manage the talent involved in getting that work accomplished. A third is to inspire performance. So how do we actually get people motivated to get that work done? Building a team in order to have some commonality of interest, using and sharing information, which is the biggest and the sort of broadest range, especially today. And then facilitating change. How do you help people stay focused in what they need to do while sort of preparing them for tomorrow?
Wow. Well, and those are, if you look at that list, I tell you what, if you can focus on those six things right there are wonderful cornerstones for some, for a really successful career. And how did you, where did those come from? Did you develop those over the years? People kind of lean into you on that. How'd you come up with this?
So the foundational thing was a book that I read called The Essence of Leadership by Edwin Locke. And he had had a graduate seminar and invited the top Fortune 500 CEOs to come in and talk about their leadership sort of history and experience. And the model started to evolve from that. And then over those few years that I've been doing this work, I've incorporated different elements of it as I've, you know, more research has come out on leadership and as we think about how to refine it for today's contemporary times. Some work from the Center for Creative Leadership, for example, other research and work that I've done myself as I've worked both nationally and internationally.
Well, I can't wait to get underway with this. Grab your pencil, grab a pad of paper, hang on, because we're going to have an opportunity to unpack this with Ann Sherman right here on the Leadership Lowdown. This is the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Bergeron. Thanks for tuning in.
Hi, this is Chris Holman, and as chairman of the National Small Business Association and a business owner myself, I understand that when you run a business, you rely heavily on your computer network. You can't afford lost data, lost customer information. That's why you should trust your technology needs to ASK. Contact ASK at 877-ASK-4ASK for a free audit and analysis of your technology needs. That's 877-ASK-4ASK, or find them on the internet at www.justask.net. ASK, taking the hassle out of technology so that you can run your business.
Thanks for tuning in to the Leadership Lowdown. This is Vic Bergeron here on the Michigan Business Network with the wonderful Ann Sherman. She is the Vice President and of Business and Finance at California State University in Chico. And, of course, Ann, in our last segment, you gave us kind of the rundown, and I can't wait to get this done in terms of some greater notes and fleshing this whole thing out. So when we talk about what is the job of a leader, one of the first things and items that you set us up with, which was structure. Tell us what that means to you and what we should take away from that.
Yeah, so if you think about the leader's job of structuring the work, a lot of times what happens is people come into leadership positions and they assume that the work is kind of the way it is. But the reality of it is for a leader, every leader needs to be thinking about how is this work getting accomplished so that it's the most efficient and effective. And by efficient, I'm talking about it uses the least amount of resources, which could be money, it could be time, it could be personnel.
Right.
And by effective, I'm talking about is the group accomplishing their mission and purpose so that they're delivering whatever it is that their product is. It could be accounting, it could be sales, it could be you know, research and development. But the group needs to be efficient and effective. And particularly nowadays, as we're thinking about how do we do more with less, that's kind of what this is talking about.
Yeah.
So we think about things like job design, how is the job actually arranged, what do the group processes look like, what are we getting information or material from, and then how are we making it efficiently through our process to the next handoff. Delegation and empowerment is critically important so that you don't have a lot of people double-checking other people's work.
Right.
Or stopping a process as they're thinking about waiting for a decision or some other activity to occur.
Well, I love this, Anne, because in my mind, it's the old Stephen Covey, put first things first. And it feels like as we get started here, you got to get the alignment straight so that there's not friction and imbalance and all these inefficiencies. So I love what just happened there, because you're lining everything up and you're getting there. But tell me, it feels like as a leader, I don't have all the answers. How do I figure out if I've got the right alignment? How do I figure out if I'm laying it out? Because sometimes things on paper look different to those that are doing it.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah.
So that's who you want to talk to, is who's doing the work? What ideas do they have about ways to do it better? Mm. What do the customers say? You know, the work around Six Sigma and some of the lean processes always say, start with your customer. What does the customer need? What is the customer perspective? And what is the customer expectation? And then from that, you can work backwards to talking with the people doing the work about, well, this is what our customer is expecting. How can we get that for them?
Yeah.
Fastest, best, smartest. So I think about, different ways to measure those work outcomes, and it can be in terms of quality, how good is it that we're providing? Are there mistakes or flaws in our product delivery? Quantity, how many of them are happening, and are they up to the standard that we're expecting?
Yeah.
Timeliness, cost, and then customer satisfaction. So if you start with some elements of that satisfaction in mind, you're going to be able to work your way into, how do I best structure this work?
Well, I love this, Ian. And I want to pull up just for a second, because as I think about our listeners, we've got people that are existing leaders and may not be starting a fresh scenario. So tell me, how would you, if you were in a leadership role right now and go, man, I like that concept, maybe I'm not as efficient as I should be, maybe I should be asking some of these questions. Do you have any advice on what that leader should do to press restart in their organization? What does that look like?
Well, again, most people have some sort of metrics around those five measures that I just mentioned. Are we looking to cut costs, for example? What would be some ways by which we could go about that?
Yeah.
Are we finding that our lead times are just way too long, and then we're not able to predict our productivity as well? Are we finding that our customers are complaining, or maybe our regulators are complaining? Uh-huh. Is there some issue? I used to work in medical devices. If the FDA wasn't happy, we weren't happy.
Right. We had issues.
That's right.
Yeah.
Are you finding that, there's just a lot of tension in the organization? A lot of times I find that tension between groups are actually indicative of a big process problem. And so it's not so much the people involved, although we'll talk about that maybe in the next section.
Yeah.
But more likely it's something to do with the way that the work is arranged and structured, and one group is totally dependent on another, for example, and they can't make progress and they're frustrated over that. Those tension points are usually key indicators. The difficult thing with structuring work is that there's no one best way by which to structure it.
Mm.
So while I can teach and have often taught the other five elements and sort of here's some best practices in each of those, when it comes to structuring work, the work itself is going to be the predictor of what the best outcome is. And all you can do as a leader is keep tinkering with it. Let's try it this way. Let's try it that way. The hard part comes because most employees want a very structured, very predictable environment.
Mm. And the sixth one was managing the change. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
And, I love what you've shared with us. It's really about never being satisfied, continuing to ask those questions and making that every day fresh and new to make sure you're keeping up with the times. And wow, Anne, I'm just so jacked you're here and so grateful for your time and so glad that you've tuned into the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown. I'm Vic Versero with Ann Sherman, and we're going to be right back.
The Lansing Board of Water and Light plans to close the coal-fired Eckerd Power Station. A plan by a citizens committee and the BWL will replace Eckerd with clean power from the wind, the sun, and from cleaner natural gas and energy-saving technologies, and improve our air quality and environmental health. Learn more about the BWL's plan for reliable, affordable, and cleaner energy at LansingEnergyTomorrow.com. The Lansing Board of Water and Light. Hometown people. Hometown power.
Thanks for tuning in to the Michigan Business Network. This is Vic Verschuro here with an exciting guest and somebody that I have a lot of respect for. Her name is Ann Sherman. She's the Vice President of Business and Finance at California State University, Chico, and she's a Youper here from Michigan, and we're so glad that she's sharing her wisdom. She's caught all around the world. Wish she was here in Michigan with us, but she's here over the airwaves, and we're so grateful for her time. Ann, as we were talking about, we mentioned that some of the things in terms of the job of a leader, and the first thing was to structure the work, make sure we're efficient and effective. And then number two, I had down on my notes, manage talent. Tell us what that means.
Yeah, so managing talent is what you're sort of blessed with as a leader. What are your raw materials? It's your people that are going to help you get that work accomplished. So when I think about the role of a leader with regard to managing talent, there's really three elements to that. One is, who are you hiring? Are you, in fact, upgrading your talent every time? Do you have an opportunity to bring in somebody that's going to be a game changer in the work that needs to be done? And how are you finding those individuals? Second piece to that is, how are you developing the people that you have available? Not everybody is going to be a superstar, and not everybody probably should be, or else you're going to have another kind of group dynamic.
Yeah, right.
That might not work so much. But you want to be able to develop people so that they can reach their full potential at work within the framework of the job. And sometimes that can be a limitation that's hard for leaders. If they've got a really dynamic person, or the person maybe is expecting a lot out of the work and their promotional opportunities, if you don't have that opportunity available to them, they're probably going to have to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's not always a bad thing. And then the third piece to this is really thinking about inclusion. So if we think about enabling every individual to bring their full selves to work, you know, what does that look like to make sure that people really feel like the person that they are in totality is comfortable and welcome into the workplace? When you've got that, you're going to have a dynamic group to work with.
Yeah, pretty exciting. Let me ask you, Ann, you know, one of the biggest things I hear from business leaders all the time is it's just so hard to find good help. Can you respond to that? Because I'm wondering if you might have a little insight in terms of people that make that complaint.
Well, I would say a couple things. One, they might not actually know what they're looking for, because there's a lot of good help out there.
Yeah.
And secondly, where are you looking? You know, for me, I look at talent everywhere that everyone that I meet.
Right.
One of my former bosses, when I was at San Francisco State, was just dynamite at that. Mm. He would go to conferences and talk with people, go to meetings and talk with people, and come back and say, hey, I met this great talent, and we're going to bring him in for a while, and he's going to do this for us. or, hey, you know, I met this amazing woman at, you know, my conference here, and she's got this kind of background. Where could we put that to good work here?
Wow.
And sometimes it would be like, oh, man, Ron, you know, he found sort of another project.
Yeah, what are you doing to me?
Okay, what is this person going to do again?
Right.
But it was amazing how short-term talent, and it truly was just for this project that he had in mind, and other times it was someone that we didn't even realize we'd been missing.
Yeah.
And what a great fit sort of new, fresh ideas, new talent that was brought in and then applied in ways we hadn't even anticipated.
Right. You know, what I think is really interesting is the whole notion of you know, always recruiting, because I think that's what he, what I think you said his name was Ron.
Yes.
I think that's what Ron was doing. He's always had his eye open for great talent. I had somebody else that I knew that, that used to hand out their business card if they went in and met a bank teller or a waitress or whatever it was, waiter, it didn't matter. And he would say, hey, if you ever want to have more fun and make more money, give me a call. We're looking for people with your kind of attitude. And that was all he'd say, right? And so he'd have a flow of interesting people that he already knew fit the box in terms of, I like them. And so, and that's half the battle in terms of people that you like. Because if you hire people you like, then what'll happen is you'll pour your heart and soul into them to help make them successful in your organization. So, you know, if your gut instinct when you go to hire somebody is I don't know. Well, yeah, you do. You know. Listen to your gut, right?
That's what top grading talent is all about.
Amen.
Finding
yeah.
the best that you can and not compromising for what you've found.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I like what you suggested in terms of think about where you're looking for talent. And honestly, there are people all over the world that really truly are looking for an opportunity, and it's all about matching their skill set, their work ethic, and giving them a chance.
Yeah, I went to a session a couple of years ago when I was in the Bay Area that was sponsored by LinkedIn, and to hear their mission, which is basically exactly what you described, to be able to match talent with where the work is, was really inspiring. I was really quite impressed with what they were hoping to do as a mission.
Yeah.
And I think it's gotten a lot easier today as we look at the different kinds of ways that you can advertise and sort of get the word out there about what you're looking for.
Right. Well, Ann, you're inspiring to us, and we're so glad you joined us here on the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown. I'm here with Ann Sherman, Vic Verschereau. We'll be right back.
Looking for the best value on your office products with the best service in the industry? For over 30 years, DBI customers have enjoyed outstanding customer service with competitive pricing on everything your office needs, from break room to boardroom. DBI can supply all your work essentials, from paper and coffee to storage and seating. DBI, we do office. Everything for the office? One call, one source, one solution. Visit DBI online at dbiyes.com.
Welcome back to Leadership Lowdown. I'm here today on the Michigan Business Network with Ann Sherman. She's the Vice President of Business and Finance at California State University, Chico, our resident youper out in California. Represent. That's awesome. So, Ann, I got to tell you, as we start to unpack this whole leadership process, I love this next one. It's probably going to be my favorite. All of them are outstanding, but this one is Inspire for Performance. Tell us how that works in your mind and what leaders can do to get the best out of their people.
Yeah, I love this one. This is what we think about as very typical kinds of leadership, but really we're talking about some pretty specific elements that make this work. One is, of course, being a role model yourself. As a leader, what kind of standard are you setting? Are you someone that people would aspire to be like? Are there good ethics? Are there good personal practices with regard to your, behavior?
Yeah.
And then there's things like goal setting. A lot of people just don't really set strong goals. And so their employees end up doing the best that they can, given what they know. But the goal itself is sort of fuzzy.
Yeah.
And then along that matter, once you set the goal, then you've got to be able to monitor the goal. So are we making progress along that path?
Yeah.
Does it look like there's some kind of barrier that's come up? Did something else become more of a priority? So how are you monitoring that goal? And then lastly, with regard to recognition, you know, you've got to be able to say, hey, this was good, this was bad, this was ugly.
And point it out. You know, and it's all about how you do it, too, I'm sure. I mean, but what I think you just mentioned there is this having crucial conversations. And those crucial conversations can go both ways in terms of being positive and inspirational and going and catching somebody doing something right. And it also has to be, we're not going to do that anymore. Are we clear? Right? So you've got to have both sides of that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing with recognition is that, you know, the rest of the team is looking. So if you've got a really star performer and you're kind of ignoring them, why would anyone else really aspire to that? Because they probably got more work and not much more recognition out of it.
Great point.
And then on the flip side, if you've got a problem employee and you're not addressing that, they're looking at that as well, thinking, well, I guess we could slack off. That guy's getting away with it. Why not?
Well, and that's the thing. You what you accept is really what you are ultimately. And I remember, Ann, we were talking years ago. I had an organization that I was in charge of, and we were dead last on all of the measurements statewide. And part of what I did when I hired people is I said, listen, just so you know, we're dead last. But what we're building here is a number one operation. You're a cornerstone to that. And so you're going to find people that are not on the same page as I am that are in this organization. Yeah. They're going to try to call you over to their corner and have you be a part of them. I'm building a winning agency, and this is what I'm looking to do. And it was amazing. By putting that little bit of insulation around them, they immediately could pick out who was on the team that was making, moving and shaking it, who was going to looking for the status quo, you know? So you probably got to, when you bring in a great people.
Yeah, and what a perfect goal setting. I mean, that was pretty specific. This is what we're going to shoot for.
Yeah, it's measurable, you know, and that's the one thing. And I'm trying to move fast on these things because we have limited time. But, Ann, I want to make sure when we talk with people about goal setting, there's a whole boatload of people that don't live their life that way. They don't have goals. That's not something they do. How do you get into somebody that's not accustomed to goals and maybe, frankly, are going, look, I just need a job. I'm trying to feed my family. That's what I'm doing here. So how do you find there's ways to address that type of a level of commitment to your organization?
Well, they just described their goal for themselves, right? They're trying to feed their family. Mm. So you just work with that and say, okay, well, in order for you to keep working here, for you to feed your family, this is what kind of performance I'm going to be expecting of you. Mm. And you know, that's a way to really tie in your goals and their goals.
Went to their level.
At a very
there.
Rudimentary level.
Yeah.
Right. Not everyone is going to be your star performer. You've got some people that are just contributors, and that's fine. They have a different, you know, goal for themselves or for the things that are happening in their life. And so that's fine. The developmental approach that you're going to take with regard to managing that talent is that you're going to keep those goals clear and to make sure that the expectations are set. And then beyond that, you're just not going to invest a lot of time and energy in them because they're not doing the same in return.
Well, and that's fair. And I think what I heard you say is right seats on the bus, right? So you might have somebody that's a good worker, shows up on time, does all the right thing, maybe a good attitude, but just is not going to be your A player that you're going to put to the top of the company. But there's room for them in an organization for those kind of people is what I heard you say, right?
Absolutely. And you're going to need a bunch of those kind of people because they're often the ones, like you said, they're low maintenance. You don't have to worry about constantly monitoring them. Neither are you going to be asking them to really do something dramatic because it's probably not going to work out.
Yeah, good point. Well, Ann, I got to tell you what's working out today is all the notes I'm taking. I could write a book, but I think I'm going to leave that up to you because you're the expert here. But Ann, thanks for joining us here on the Michigan Business Network. Thanks for tuning in to the Leadership Lowdown. This is Vic Verschuro. We'll be right back.
The attorneys of Foster Swift, Collins & Smith offer legal counsel to businesses, families, individuals, and municipalities throughout Michigan with offices in Lansing, Farmington Hills, Grand Rapids, Detroit, Marquette, and Holland. Clients know they can count on Foster Swift for all their legal needs, from straightforward wills to sophisticated business transactions and complex litigation. Learn more about Foster Swift and how they can assist you at fosterswift.com. Michigan, my Michigan.
Thanks for tuning in to the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown. Vic Verschuro here and humbly asking all the questions of our wonderful guest, Ann Sherman. She's the Vice President of Business and Finance at California State University in Chico, and she's coughing her way through the wildfires out there in California, but grateful that her UP fire forest up in the Upper Peninsula are not on fire. So, Ann, welcome, and thanks so much for what you're doing here today with us. We have a time crunch here to try to fit this all in. So I want to take on number 4 and 5, which is going to be building teams and using and sharing info. So they kind of go together maybe, but start me off with team building and what your thoughts are.
Yeah, when we think about building a team, we usually think about, what's the team that I'm responsible for? But even more important, in my opinion, as you raise your leadership ranks and get promoted through the time, is what you're doing to build your peer. So at one point, it's really important that the leader become a member of the team themselves and be a good team player themselves, not just in forming the team that they're responsible for. And then a third element to that is, how are you managing upward? What is your team relationship with your boss or your board, as the case may be? And how are you managing that relationship? When you think about building a team, I'm thinking about the team that you're responsible for, the team that you're a member of, and the team that you're looking up to for resources and guidance.
Very good. And that's identifying all the stakeholders and making sure that the interaction with them is right. Tell me, because I want to make sure we get this in, tell me about trust when it comes to building trust, and how important is trust in all of those different interfaces?
See, this would be a whole nother 12 shows because
right.
That was my dissertation topic.
Oh, my word. No kidding. That's interesting.
My topic was trust and management and the impact on organizational change.
Wow.
And, so trust really comes down to three elements when you're thinking about trust and management. One is around openness. You know, sorry, I got some of that smoke in my voice.
Yeah, I understand.
One is looking at openness. You know, are they open to hearing more information? Are they accessible to me? A second thing is around credibility. So do they actually know what they're talking about, and are they seen as a credible source? And then a third element of trust is around benevolence. Do I feel that the person has my best interests in mind as they're making decisions?
I've never heard that in trust. That is outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you've got those three pieces and you think about those three different groups that I just mentioned, the group you're responsible for, your peer team, and your supervisors, and you think about trust in those three elements, if you've got those three pieces, you're going to be golden.
Right. Well, that's great hints and really powerful, and I think it probably goes with our fifth point about becoming and understanding the job of a leader is using and sharing information. So when I think about trust, I think about communication and honest and open communication. And so is that kind of where number 5, using and sharing info, goes? Is that as simple as communication, or is it broader?
It's broader than that, because it looks not only at oral and written communications, but also about your presence. What does that gravitas look like, particularly for women? It's really important to have a sense of gravitas and credibility. We also nowadays think about technology, and is the leader adept with technology? If you've got an assistant that has to print out all of your emails so you can read them, I would say that you're not going to be following, you're not going to be leading for a lot. And then, of course, you've got the financial information. You've got to be able to read budgets and understand how the business is working, how the money flows. So using and sharing information is, it's kind of this broad swath of things. But definitely, are you able to talk with people one-on-one? Are you able to talk with large groups? Are you able to do, PR and sort of public relations or media kinds of events? Just huge demands nowadays on leaders with regard to the information flow coming in and their ability to manage that information and make sense out of it in order to make you know, reasonable sort of informed decisions as to how to move forward.
Right. Well, and boy, I don't want to pass this up, and we probably don't have enough time to unpack it, but you mentioned women. Rules different for men versus women in this portion of the leadership discussion?
That's becoming less so, but considering there's still a wage gap and considering that we still don't see equality with regard to, say, the Fortune 500 CEOs, there's a lot of work to go yet.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff that's really powerful is to think about in what ways do we see credibility show up? How does that gravitas look? What is the sort of presence that a woman has to present as opposed to what a man has to present?
Yeah.
A lot of research looks at one of the biggest predictors of leadership is height. And so, how would a female show up in that as opposed to a male, considering we tend to be shorter?
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
There's some really fundamental elements of thinking about, well, why do I think that this person is credible versus that person being credible?
Yeah.
And to really, like I said, when you're thinking about managing your talents, what kinds of assumptions are you making there that may or may not be valid?
Wow. Well, Ann, man, this is really good stuff. I got pages of notes here and just really excited to have you with us here on the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown. Vic Versaro, we're going to go pay some bills and wrap this up with Ann Sherman in just a moment.
Most of us aren't looking around for accidents waiting to happen. That would be sort of odd. But when you have Accident Fund Workers' Compensation Insurance, that's exactly what they are doing. Accident Fund employees are the WorkSafe people. They take your safety very seriously because that's all they do. Workers' Compensation Insurance. That's why they're rated A Excellent by AM Best. Go to accidentfund.com/worksafe and get the WorkSafe people. Accident Fund is a wholly owned subsidiary of Accident Fund Holdings Incorporated, the 10th largest workers' compensation insurer in the United States.
This is the Leadership Lowdown. Thank you for tuning in to the Michigan Business Network. I'm here with Ann Sherman, Vice President of Business and Finance at California State University, Chico. And, of course, Ann, we've got five of the roles and job of a leader identified. Number six is facilitating change. Tell me about your thoughts on that.
This one is one of my favorites because, like I said, change was part of my dissertation. I think about continuous improvement. Mm-hmm. How are we continuously trying to make things better in the organization? There's always going to be an opportunity to, you know, deal with those five things I said previously. Can we do it better? Can we do more of it? Can we do it faster? Can we do it cheaper? Can we just delight our customers in another way? And so if we think about keeping focused on how to improve our business and make it more efficient and more able to achieve its mission, facilitating change is a critical element of that. One of the things I find with leaders, though, is they get so excited about their vision that there's a tendency sometimes to leave the employees in the dust.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's crystal clear in their mind, right? And maybe they didn't build it brick by brick in the people around them. It's just they've got this vision and they didn't slow down enough to have everybody buy in. Is that kind of where your brain goes on that one?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So if you turn around and the team's not coming right behind you,
right,
and there's sort of a speck in the distance, you might need to reel it back in a little bit.
Yeah, well, remember the old saying, I must hurry up and catch them for I am their leader, right? Well, it's about the same result. If you're so far out ahead that nobody's following you, it's the same problem. So just different basket. Well, you did say something about you know, this change thing, and it reminds me of the old Japanese word, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, but it's Kaizen. And Kaizen, it's gradual non-ending improvement. And I just love that word. I learned it years ago, and I can't speak a lick of Japanese, but I can tell you, gradual non-ending self-improvement is just a tremendous thing for organizations and people to practice. And, of course, that by definition comes with change, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I love that definition. That is fantastic. We have a saying over the door of our administration building that's sort of our motto that says, today decides tomorrow. Mm. And that's a great summary for facilitating changes. What decisions are you making today along that continuous improvement mode that is going to help get you where you need to be in the future?
Wow, today decides tomorrow. I just love it. That's worth putting on a bumper sticker everywhere you go. Well, look, as we're wrapping this up, I want you to kind of put this in a bow for me, because I think if you were to look at these six elements, I don't know what's more important, but I think you break them down in a certain way. Tell me about, as we step back from this list, what do you see?
So when you really think about those six roles, three of them are very day-to-day, what we would think about as management. Excuse me. Here goes my voice again.
Mm-hmm. I could sing, but then we'd lose our listeners.
That smoke that we talked about earlier
has a very definite. Yeah.
That's right. I was starting to say there's three things that we think about as day-to-day, which are traditionally very management kinds of things. And that would be managing talent, inspiring performance, and using and sharing information. So those are things that are very tangible. They're very day-to-day. They're very immediate. And so we think of those as more management kinds of things. Structuring work, building a team, and facilitating change, we think of as more leadership bound because they're future-focused.
Yeah.
But every leader, and one of the reasons I just love this particular model is because we need to have that balance when we think about leadership roles. And one of my favorite quotes is, management without leadership is stagnation, but leadership without management is chaos.
Wow.
So we don't want to be stuck dead in the water, but nor do we want to be churning up the water so much that you can't sort of figure out which direction you're heading.
And I'll bet you've seen leaders like that, haven't you? Where they're great idea people, they're visionaries, they have all kinds of great things going on, exploding from their brain, but they create such chaos to the people that are trying to execute the plan that it feels like there's no plan, right? That kind of what happens.
Yeah. Well, you see that a lot with startup companies. You've got a great idea person who gets the company off the ground, but oftentimes what you see is that as the company starts to stabilize and really get out there in its product or its market space, somebody else needs to come in to handle those day-to-day kinds of operational tasks.
Yeah,
it's a great example of that.
Yeah, there's an entrepreneurial operating system, which is Gino Wickman here in Detroit created it, and Ryan Henry is a local implementer for him. And they talk about that notion that those brilliant views and everything else get stalled out because they can't, they fall down in terms of execution. Well, Ann, I've just got just a few more seconds here. Anything else that you want to put as an exclamation point on the end of this?
I just want to say thanks for letting me run through my litany of things here, and I really hope that it helps some of the listeners think about things in a little bit different way, and really appreciate this opportunity to spend time with you all today.
Well, Ann, you truly are a treasure. All I can say is come on home. We'd love to have you back in Michigan. And frankly, I just have to tell you, this is one of my favorite shows for a lot of reasons. One, you're just a charming, wonderful person to visit with and talk with, but also you've given us such great practical applications that we can't thank you enough. And we're so proud to call you a friend. We're so grateful for your time, and we're grateful for the wonderful audience that tuned in here to the Michigan Business Network and listen to us here on the Leadership Lowdown. Thanks so much for your time, and we'll talk to you again soon.